So, Father, once more we're back on Zoom, and we're looking to you, Lord, to inspire us through your word. And I do pray, Lord, that you would take the work of my hands and, Lord, use it to bless everybody who hears it, Lord, and that it would be a blessing to you, that your word would not return to you void, but would serve the purpose for which you wrote it in the first place, Lord, and cast it in stone, that it's immutable, never changes, it's perfect, Lord. So be with us, Lord, as we listen. And we thank you for this technology. We thank you that where there's a will, there's a way. And our will is, Lord, to serve you and to praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, I've named this sermon similar to a sermon that I've done recently, and the last one was called Fear Not with a question mark. This one is simply called Fear. Fear on the 8th of November. The other night, Thursday, the 5th, I think it was the 5th of November, I was minding my own business drying the pots in this particular kitchen where I am now after dinner. I was on my own listening to the radio. It was dark, minding my own outside, minding my own business, dark outside. And there were one or two fireworks going off. Not too many, but, you know, not like the RAF camp firework display or anything like that. But one or two fireworks were going off. And then all of a sudden, there was a massive bang nearby. It felt like it was next door. Really, really loud bang. Followed by a very unusual sound that I'm not used to hearing these days. And it was a sound at my back door, and it sounded like a very large mouse scratching at the door. And then I realized what it was. It was Jasper, our cat, and he'd been trapped outside, and he's too big to get through the cat flap, generally speaking, so we don't bother, we have to keep it locked. And he was scrambling at the cat flap trying to get in. Obviously being freaked out by the fireworks, and I just ran to the door and opened the door. And usually he's very casual about whether he comes in or not, because he's always in charge, you know, he decides if he's going to come in or not. And this time I opened the door and he ran in, ran through the kitchen and ran upstairs. Never seen him move that quick for a while. Frantic Moggy screaming to be let in. Usually he's very cat-like, and you have to bargain with him when he comes in and when he doesn't come in. He likes to be in charge. He's exactly the opposite of a dog. So he has to believe that it's his idea that he's coming in, and his idea that you feed him, and his idea when he's going out. And he's like doing you a favour by coming in and going out. But not this time. Now, this time he ran in and ran upstairs. And as you know, cats have got very sensitive hearing, and they don't like loud bangs. And Nola soon calmed him down and assured him that he was safely home, away from those nasty fireworks. This normally confident, casual king of the garden changed into a quivering wimp in the space of just a few minutes. Why did that happen? Why did that happen? We all have our fear buttons. We all have things that upset us, and fear can come upon us when we least expect it. No matter who you are or what you are, there will be something that will unsettle you and make you nervous or anxious or even just steal your peace about something. And for some of us, it could even be fireworks. I do know people who are, you know, don't like firework night, and they, you know, they shut the curtains and they turn the telly up loud. They don't like the bangs because it reminds them, perhaps if they're old people, it reminds them of the war and bombing, and, you know, the very thing that we're remembering today on Remembrance Sunday, that a lot of people died with loud bangs all around them. But it's often, you know, it's just the fear of the unknown, or the what ifs in our lives that make us afraid and fearful. And people, you know, people, even adults, are still afraid of the dark. They don't like to be out in the dark, and they can't see where they're going because they're, what could there be in the dark? What might you trip over? What might come out of the dark? You know, even Jesus' disciples were not immune from fear. And in Matthew 14:25, we read, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them. And they were out in a boat, weren't they, on the Sea of Galilee. And he went out walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. Not just fearful, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said. And they cried out in fear. I mean, that's, you know, that's not just, oh, I wonder what that is. That is, I'm terrified. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Came out of nowhere, in the dark, on a boat, and immediately they were terrified. What made this a frightening situation then? Well, even in daylight, you don't expect to see a man walking on the surface of a lake, do you? But at night, that's eerie, that's weird. Wow, the imagination would run riot. No matter how sane you are and how level-headed you are, I think you might just freak out at that one. What freaked our cat out? Well, he wasn't used to loud bangs while he's trying to listen out for mice in the undergrowth. You don't usually have your night vision ruined by a blinding flash at the same time as a loud bang. All in all, for that cat, it was a case of, I'd better get out of here. I'd better run away and get away from this place. So where did he head for? He heads for home, where he knows who lives there. He knows what goes on. He's familiar with his surroundings. Everything is pretty normal. He gets fed there. It's warm, it's dry, and it's safe. So what calmed the disciples in the boat? It was the voice of Jesus. The voice of Jesus. As soon as they heard it and confirmed that it was him, all was well with the world again. And they could cope with what they'd just seen. Now, we've just witnessed the US elections, and it was like Brexit vote all over again, but much bigger. Much bigger and louder and more people involved in it. And it is weird. It is a very strange situation. I don't know how it's affected you, but there are people out there who are very anxious about what comes next, about how the leadership of the arguably most powerful nation on earth will turn out. So no matter what you think of Donald Trump, he is actually pro-life, against abortion on demand. And there have been no major wars during his presidency. So we have to be thankful for that, no matter what you think of him. And I honestly believe God has used him for a reason. Some very significant world events have happened under his direction that arguably would never have happened without him. And I'm thinking about Israel in particular and how it has both developed and been recognized during the last few years. Now, some of you will not need reminding of how many countries have moved their embassies to Jerusalem now, and that Jerusalem is now the capital of Israel, and how many of Israel's enemies of the past, especially the Arab nations, are now entering into normal trade relations with them and seeking peace. Now, we all think peace is a good thing, don't we? But, you know, in the last days, people will be saying, peace, peace, and then the end will come. However, having said that, there are highly significant enemies that have sworn to destroy Israel altogether, drive them into the sea, said it publicly, and given half a chance, they would do just that. Especially now that it's no longer a third world country, but a highly sophisticated and rich country with its own oil and gas. These lifelong enemies, along with their questionable nuclear projects, have been suppressed by the current US president. So why would that in itself make people anxious or fearful. Simply because a change in US government could attempt to reverse that which has already been achieved. And the end result could be theoretically catastrophic and endanger Israel and the allies of Israel. And because we as Christians don't fight against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities in high places, it's very difficult sometimes to understand exactly who is our enemy. Do we know who our enemy is? In the war, it was straightforward. It was the Nazis, wasn't it? It was Hitler. It was dead easy to identify who the enemy was, who you were fighting. But surely anyone or anything that counters or goes against the word of God, its laws, its guidance, its values and principles can't be good for us as Christians, can it? And if there was cheating involved in the elections, well, then know this from Proverbs. Proverbs 11:1 says, "The Lord abhors dishonest scales, but accurate weights are his delight." He believes in fairness and being outspoken and clear and not cheating. Proverbs 29:2, "And when the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people groan." When the wicked rule, the people groan. Now, only God knows who's wicked and who's righteous. But is that how you feel today? Are you groaning? What if it were to get worse and we were to groan even more? Does that worry you? Does it induce fear into you? Where does that fear come from? Is it the fear of the unknown? The what ifs? Is it the fear of the dark? Because, according to the word, the darkness is coming. Jesus said in John 9:45, "As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me." Talking about himself. We must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. So while I am in the world, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But I thought Jesus said that we were also the light of the world. Didn't he? He did say that. And he said that in Matthew 5:11-16. "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all things of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, and neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. So in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." So, while we're still here, we are the light of the world. While we're still here. When Jesus was here, he was the light of the world. And now he says, we're the light of the world. So when does it go dark? Logically speaking, it goes dark when the light is taken away, doesn't it? So in the meantime, while we're waiting for our bridegroom Jesus to call for his bride, we have to be working and not running away in fear and intimidation. Remember, when we are weak, then we are strong. We're strong because we may have come to the end of our tether. We may feel weak and ineffective. We may be suffering the testing of our faith. We may be in physical or emotional pain. But that is relatively normal for aliens in a foreign land, whose captain has overcome the world and gone ahead of us to prepare our eternal home. This is how Jesus did it. It's succinctly put in Paul's letter to the Colossians. In Colossians 2:13b to 15, he forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Did you like that? He disarmed the powers and the authorities. They have no power over you and I anymore. So there is nothing to be afraid of. Were you afraid of failure? Were you afraid of failure at school, in work, in your marriage? You and Jesus can't fail. Are you afraid of the dark? Loud bangs, fireworks, the world economy collapsing, changes in government or monetary systems, the introduction of a one world religion or bank, earthquakes, floods or wars. All these things are potential realities. Are you afraid that people won't like you? Are you afraid of getting old or sick or COVID or, heaven forbid, of dying alone? Are you afraid of any of those things? Is there anything that you should be afraid of? Well, in Luke 12:4-5, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him. After the killing of the body has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. So do you fear Jesus? Will he judge you and find you lacking? Is there still a possibility that you could be thrown into hell? Is there a possibility? Luke 1 verse 50 says, his mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, his mercy extends to those who fear him. If you don't care about God, if you just put one finger up to God, then you don't fear God. So don't expect his mercy. But to those who fear him and respect him and love him, his mercy extends. A healthy fear of Jesus is a good thing. But it shouldn't be the type of fear that my cat had of fireworks. Not that kind of fear. It should be a fear of offending him or grieving his spirit, the Holy Spirit. Assuming that you personally accepted his death on the cross, that it was for you, and that without that you would have ended up in hell for your sins, then you have nothing more to fear. No matter who is the next president of the United States. After all, Jesus has overcome the whole world, and scripture and prophecy is not controlled by man, nor can it be avoided by elections or the lack of elections, whether they are fair or corrupt. God is the one who promotes a person, and God is the one who demotes a person. So really, you just can't outwit the best chess player in the universe. He is in control. Just make sure that you're on his side, the winning side. Matthew 24:6-14, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed or afraid. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains, and then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. And because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most, not some, but the love of most, will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Vote Jesus. You're guaranteed to win. John 3, 35, 36. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Everything is in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. So whatever you do, do not reject Jesus. He died for you. Or you'll remain in the darkness with all the nasty things that belong in the darkness. I finish with this last scripture from 1 Thessalonians 5, 8 to 11. For those who have accepted the Lord Jesus into their hearts. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll say that again. God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, the wrath of God, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. So therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Amen.